Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
You don't have to have faith in this team. You don't have to. Why would you? I feel stupid for having faith in them in the Philly series. I wound up being right, but that was dumb. It was dumb to have faith in them. No, I don't think you have to have faith in this group. I don't think you have to have faith in this team. They give you no reason to believe in them. They choke.
Jason, why do you think this team is so comfortable in chaos?
That's a great question. I wish I didn't know the answer. For some odd reason, we always seem to make it a little bit tougher on ourselves. But what I do know is that, you know, you can see the true character of a person, of a team when things aren't going well. Believe that the guy next to you is going to do whatever it takes and go down fighting if it don't work out.
That's just great footwork down there by Caleb Martin.
Hard screen. Williams. Put in by Tatum. Timeout, Miami.
They let us get two, so don't let us get another one.
Tatum and Strus across the lane. Smart for the triple. Perfect. Again. Smart three. Off the White. A three. White. With his third triple and 11 points for the Celtics.
Why is it that your confidence and the group's confidence remains so high given the way the last two games unfold?
Because the last two games are not who we are. We are going to win the next game.
That's number one goal. Take care of the next game, one game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got...
Good job, Grant.
I'll see y'all Saturday, Miss Lourdes.
Fat Dan Levitard.
I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah!
And we go back to South Florida for a big game coming up on Saturday night.
They let us get two. Don't let us get another one.
Final hour, Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. Phone call 617-779-7937.
It's actually Jones and Mego with the wrench.
That's a good point.
That's right.
Jones and Mego with the wrench. Christian Arcan. No relation to Frank Wrench. We'll get
Listen
back to
my show on Saturdays, Wrench.
We'll get back to your feedback coming up momentarily. Excellent work again by Ryan Garvin, throwing that together. He puts a lot of time and effort into those. They are well worthwhile, and they really set the stage for what went down last night. At TD Garden, Celtics saved their season. They extend the Eastern Conference Final with a 110-97 victory. Over Miami, we've been talking about it all day long. We've been asking a number of questions here today. Who has more pressure on them going into Game 6 tomorrow night? I maintain it's the Celtics. I actually won Mega over on this, right?
You did. You did. I feel like it's the Celtics now. And it's not just about this series. It's because the Celtics have more to lose overall. They're supposed to be back in the finals this year. And if they don't get there, coach might be gone. Core might be split up. Everything's on the table.
I just think also, like, now the Celtics are at a point where everybody's starting to think they're going to win again. And this is when they start to lose.
Yeah.
Like, this is where they start to lose. This is what they don't handle situations like this well. They handle situations well when their back's against the wall. And I guess they're all elimination games. So, like, technically, your back's against the wall. Technically. But, like, now everybody's kind of expecting them to win again. You're not the underdog. You're not written off anymore. This is where they suck. So, I think there's more pressure on them. They have trouble looking at it and saying, oh, now people expect us to win? Uh-oh. Like, now we better win. And I don't feel great about them doing that. So we talked about that all day. Who has more pressure, the Celtics or Heat? We also talked about what the biggest factor was in the Celtics extending this last night. You know, I think people have it backwards, and this is a chicken and an egg thing. Mego and I have gone back and forth about this the last couple of days. I think it all starts with their shooting. Everything else clicks in when they're shooting well. And it's not just, and I think it's not, people look at it and say it's a make-miss league. Not what I'm saying. I think a lot of people say, oh, they're going to outscore them. Like, duh, you're going to score more points. No. They try harder on defense when they're making shots. And they're willing to push the tempo and run and get out in transition when they're making shots. And they move the ball when they're making shots. When they're not making shots, namely threes, 41% last night, 16 of them, then I don't know if they trust each other as much. I think they hang their heads on defense. I think they loaf getting down the court. And, I mean, look, Jimmy Butler accused the Heat of the same thing. Maybe that's not a novel concept in the NBA. I think the Celtics are worse at it. And the Celtics are going to need to win one of these games when the threes aren't falling. I know Miami can do that. Miami won a game against New York shooting like 22% on threes. They won a game against the Celtics not shooting great on threes in game two. That whole New York series, they won a bunch of games. I know Miami can win that way. Can the Celtics win that way? And so I'm still not sure about it. You feel like Tatum turned the series. Arcan thinks rebounding and Derek White shooting turned the series. You guys can jump in on all of it at 617-779-7937. Can I just hear Marcus Smart on the Celtics and their mindset? I like this exchange. And these were over a couple of different questions, so I think we kind of jammed these together. But Marcus Smart talked about not taking the Heat seriously effectively.
What feels different for you guys from how you started this year?
Just our mindset. You know, coming in, we were more relaxed. They snuck up on us and got us. And, you know, these last two games for sure, we definitely just wanted to turn it around. You know, we wanted to go out and leave it on the court and, you know, let the results fall where they may. That's the thing about sneaking up on somebody. It's they're not supposed to know you're coming. So that's what happened. We didn't know. We didn't see it, and they got us. So it wasn't like we were trying to have that mindset. It's part of the game. It's part of life. It's part of the roller coaster of playing in the NBA at the highest level. You're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. But figuring out when you get down how to get back up, and that's what we've done.
So I wonder if the Celtics see it coming this time. It's like I feel like they're writing off the Heat again. Tell me if I'm wrong about that. This is what I'm talking about with their mindset. I feel like they're writing off the Heat again. They kind of wrote them off coming into the series. You're writing them off again, and I feel like you're right back to where you were. They're about to sneak up on you again, Marcus. You don't even see it coming. That's the thing about people sneaking up on you. You don't know.
Is that Bush moving over there?
You don't know about it.
Oh, no, it's Jimmy Butler.
They're about to do it. I feel like they're about to do it. Listening to Marcus Smart, I'm like, don't you realize they're going to sneak up on you again? You don't even realize it.
I don't understand how they can get caught off guard with the team that they see in the Eastern Conference Finals
it's
every
crazy.
Other year.
It's crazy.
Like, why?
With a lot of the same personnel.
I know we're kind of past this, but just hearing that again where he's like, that's the nature of getting somebody sneaking up on you. I'm like, how can they sneak up on you? You went to 7 games with the same freaking team last year.
Right. Butler, Adebayo, they were both there in the bubble. It's still Spoelstra. Miami still plays a lot of zone.
Core.
It's like the same thing. It's
like,
crazy.
What, you thought they were going to be so different because Tyler Hero's not out there?
Who knows? Who knows with this group? And it's why I don't trust them for 4 straight games.
It's just funny.
I don't. Arcan, you were leaning in. What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. All right. Let's carry on this.
Listen, they keep saying last year's over, last year's over. That means we have zero recollection of ever seeing this Miami Heat team.
That's true. Scott's in Westerly. Go ahead. Scott, hello.
Ooh, nice.
Scott's rocking out.
We'll put him back on hold. He wanted to talk about the refs anyway.
Put that back on. I want to
Let's go to Dan in Worcester. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to make a comment about the timeouts you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
It just seemed like Mazzulla called the timeout in the second quarter, and the Celtics were making shots. The Heat made a couple, but we were still responding with shots, and he just called the timeout and kind of just killed the buzz a little bit.
So that
and
was
it just seemed weird. The second point I want to make real quick
okay,
is rebounding. It seems like they're stuck in their stance after shooting, and a lot of balls are coming back our way, and we're just stuck watching the ball, holding a pole.
He broke up that.
Opportunity there if we can close.
Yeah, so I mean, he's making it sound like the Celtics weren't doing a good job rebounding.
No, they were pretty even, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the final margin, but I'm with Arcan on this. I feel like the Celtics were destroying them when it mattered.
Yeah.
They had more offensive rebounds, only 12-10. The final margin was close. I feel like when the game mattered, when the game was in doubt, the Celtics were crushing them on the glass. But I think this, and I've said this a couple of times today, there's a positive and a negative to playing the zone. I think the zone still screws the Celtics up. It was happening in that second quarter. And he's right. Mazzulla called a weird timeout where the Celtics are kind of on a roll and he cut it off. But I'd rather have him call a weird timeout than not call timeouts. Last night to me wasn't about Mazzulla timeouts. The game four, it was eye-opening and obvious. I just don't want to give him a ton of credit for it last night because I don't think it was a big factor. But at least he's calling them. Miami had trouble rebounding out of the zone. And the Celtics crushed them for it last night. They were getting stops and trying to get back into the game. It was like 12, 13 points. They'd get a stop. They'd let a rebound happen. Celtics would get a putback dunk by Horford, or they'd get a kick out three, and those felt backbreaking for Miami. So they got to make a choice. I sit in that zone a lot because I still think it screws the Celtics up.
There were some close calls also in that second quarter where I know Jalen like basically fell in the paint and turned the ball over at one point. But there were a couple of times where there was a loose handle from Jason Tatum or someone else, and it looked like it was about to get picked off, and they kind of grabbed it at the last second to swing a pass. So I still feel like that zone is effective at kind of shaking them up when they're first trying to get into any kind of half-court offense. I wouldn't abandon it either.
No. You can't play 48 minutes of it.
Also,
I'm not saying that.
What are you going to do? You're gonna go man with Max Strus out there?
No.
Like,
no.
Come on.
God, no. Jordan is in Wilmington on Megsplaining. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hi, yeah. This one's from Mego about skateboarders always suck.
Yeah. Are you a skateboarder?
That's a future Megsplaining, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I am. So skateboarding is probably one of the hardest things ever. And how do you think people get good at it?
Well, I don't know.
Playing
video games
and eating Cheetos.
People,
I don't know.
I never see people good at it in real life.
Well, you get to practice, right?
Okay. Well, okay, where are so the ones that are done practicing? Are they only in the X Games?
Well, it's all about that one trick. You know, people spend a whole day, 100 tries, and it's all about that feeling of landing it one time.
What's your top trick, Jordan? Ollie?
Half cab, 180.
Half cab, 180?
Those are two different things.
Oh, okay. Those are two different. I thought that was all one.
God, Jones, you're such a dork.
Well, skateboarder would combine the two.
That's what I was just going to say. When you get really good at skateboarding, you can combine the two.
What about a McTwist? Can you do a McTwist?
Nego gave me like a really judgy look when I said Ollie.
Because that's like the easiest one.
No, that's the only one
up.
I know.
No, I know, but that's right. It's the only
I haven't
one
played
I
Tony Hawk in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you never played Tony Hawk.
I mean, I did, but it was 20 years ago. I don't know. 25 years ago. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Stale fresh air.
Shove it. That was the one. The shove it. I don't know what that move is, but
McTwist.
I always know. Shove it.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Skateboarders weighing in.
I was joking. I love you, skateboarders.
617-779-7937. That's a future Megsplaining, by the way. So
careful
don't
on those rails.
Hey, don't blow your wad on that. Well, we'll continue with all your feedback coming up. And I do want to get to more of the Celtics, their game six mentality. And we'll continue with this question. Who's got more pressure on them, the Celtics or the Heat, right after Trending with Arc?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Breaking down the questions you need answers to.
Why are there so many bad men? Why is there so much incest?
You are listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
While their confidence is shaking, they can't beat the Celtics if the Celtics play well. I mean, you know, there's a reason everybody picked the Celtics. Now, the thing that's disappointing about the Celtics, you should not be up and down this late in the season in the Eastern Conference Finals. But we saw it against Atlanta. We saw it against who they played in the second round?
Milwaukee.
No, that's Miami.
I got you.
Yeah, no, that's Miami. But they were against Philadelphia. But and they did the same thing in game one, game two, and game three. But if they play like they do in game four and five, Miami can't beat them. They're not good enough.
Charles Barkley saying basically what Scal said on the post game on NBC Sports Boston. Both teams play their best. The Heat can't touch them, which I agree with. But how likely is it that the Celtics are going to play their best? They did it last night. They did it for the home stretch in game four. They're going to do it game six and seven as well. Maybe it's possible. I don't trust them. And it's Jones and Mego with Arkin here on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. One more time, just in case people missed this earlier. We all agree it's a series. We
yes.
all now think it's a series. We didn't think that until the Celtics won last night. Okay, it's a series. We agree. Mego, make a prediction tomorrow night. Celtics win, yes or no?
No.
Arkin?
I'm saying no, too, but I've been wrong two games in a row now.
Me
yeah,
too,
that's
me
fine.
Too.
Same. Yeah, same. I thought they were going to get swept. Well, I also thought they were going to sweep Miami. So I haven't had like one game right yet in this series. So what
no,
do
no,
I?
No.
It's
you,
been a real roller coaster.
You thought they were
going to
win last night.
I did think they were going to win last night. I thought they'd lose. I thought they'd get swept out, though. Like once they were down 0-3, I did not think they would show this much
well, who
life.
Who did after
which,
game three?
Well, I mean, maybe some out there. I certainly didn't. But they've shown a little more backbone than I thought they would. I have them losing tomorrow night. I'm not convinced they're going to play their best. I think Miami's going to bounce back. The Celtics aren't going to continue to rain 40% from three. And if they don't, they're going to lose. Ryan?
You're.
Ryan's a yes. Ryan thinks they're going to win. But Ryan, you want to talk about being wrong, though. I mean, Ryan's has been doubting the Heat
I'm
since.
I'm not wrong yet.
Ryan's been doubting the Heat since, like, March.
Oh, it's going to be so funny when they blow this. The Heat, I mean.
I can't.
It's going to be so funny.
He can't dig his heels in on Miami, can he? I feel like you can't.
Don't challenge me. Do not challenge me.
I feel like you can't.
You'll be what? Shocked at how stubborn
the
I
team
can
that
be.
You thought was going to be a laughable matchup for the Celtics way back when, and we won round one, rather, is in the Eastern Conference Final and was up 3-0 on the Celtics.
Yeah, bad teams make the finals.
Okay. I mean, look,
it happens.
Honestly, I respect it. I really do respect digging in your heels.
LeBron got smoked by the Spurs in 06. That Magic team that beat the injured hospital Celtics had no business playing in the finals again.
I respect it.
The Lakers.
Here's another question. If they win tomorrow night, Mego, do you think the Celtics are going to win the series?
Yes.
Why?
I think
you don't think Miami can come here and win a game?
It's not even about that. I think then it will be because momentum is just totally on their side. And I don't always believe that with this Celtics team that momentum carries over from game to game. But it does look like from last night, all indications are that they're starting to figure some stuff out. They're starting to figure out how to match up on Jimmy Butler and contain him. Unless you buy the Skip Bayless excuse, which was that Jimmy decided to rein it back.
It wasn't just Skip, because I know that not everybody loves Skip, but Tim Legler made the same point this morning on Get Up, that like Jimmy Butler goes into games, sometimes it's calculated,
mm-hmm.
premeditated.
But even
and he goes into a game and says, this is going to be a game where I let other people do the scoring, I let the game come to me, and some games he goes in, and he has the mindset, Skip.
Mm.
Of being aggressive. This is more Legler that I'm quoting now, but I do like the Skip sound effects. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if he does that in game six.
I just didn't think that was Jimmy Butler's style. But even if you listen to the way that the Celtics talked about playing defense last night, it sounds like they've figured out the sets that the Heat run, where the holes are, where they need to be on defense, how they keep talking about the connection that they feel on defense mm-hmm. now. My only nitpick there is, why couldn't you figure that out after game one?
One would have hoped.
Or why didn't you look at your tape of when you played almost the same exact team last year?
You would think.
You know?
You would think they'd be ready for it, but then again, Ime couldn't get them ready for the Heat last year, and Brad Stevens certainly couldn't figure out the Heat when he was the coach, so it's a familiar thing,
but
although Udoka ultimately got by him.
Just to that point, so two games, you're saying, Megan, is not enough momentum for you to believe that they can win game six.
But one more.
It's not
but
that I
three
don't.
Would
I don't
be
believe
okay, no
that
problem.
I'm not saying it's like impossible. I'm not saying it's even unlikely. I just feel like they won't.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this team rip off back to back games a lot. The third game is tricky.
Yeah.
Have we seen them do that once in this entire playoffs?
No.
Did they go up 3-1 at any point?
I thought they were up 3-1 on Atlanta, but. What game did they lose to it? I thought they were up 3-0 on Atlanta, weren't they?
Did they rip off three in a row?
They were up 3-1 on Atlanta and lost game five.
I know,
five.
But what, did they win game? Was it 2-0 and then 2-1?
It was 2-0, then 2-1.
Okay, so
that's what I thought.
So it wasn't three in a row. Okay, so Mego's right.
I'm not saying it's not impossible. I'm not saying that they're definitely going to lose or anything. It's just something that I haven't seen them
no,
do yet.
It's just a prediction. If you're wrong, you're wrong. That's fine.
So
no,
I lean the other way.
Yeah.
Hope I'm wrong. I hope I am so wrong.
Look, and just on the Butler thing, I go back and forth on this because part of me does think that Butler might go into it and say, I'm going to get my teammates involved instead of just come out and dominate the basketball. But at a point, he has to dominate it, and he tried. And they have figured something out with his up fakes. They are staying down on his up fakes. And Butler doesn't have a lot in his arsenal, which is surprising to me. But he doesn't have a lot in his arsenal when they stay down on that up fake. Because, you know, you've lost your pivot. Like, all you can really do is go to a turnaround jumper, which he's great at. But he's had trouble barreling to the rim. He can't shoot the three. You know, in general, he can't really shoot the three. So that turnaround jumper he has is incredible, but a lot of it is getting to the foul line, drawing contact, getting guys up in the air. And when he's not doing that, he's much more human. So what do you expect tomorrow night? 617-779-7937. What has Jaylen Brown seen change in the Celtics since going down 0-3 to now winning two in a row?
Just nothing special. I think just being together in moments of adversity, you know, staying on the same page and sticking with it, you know, doubling down on things that we need to do better, holding each other accountable has been the key. I think once we got ourselves together, we all looked each other in the eyes and saying like, hey, we're not going out like this. You know, we represent the organization, but we also represent ourselves and our family. And obviously we haven't performed the way we felt like we needed to perform. So that game four was the start of the atonement. And then now we've been able to pick up off that game five, and hopefully we can carry it on to game six.
Okay. Hopefully. So now you didn't go out like that. Is that enough? I wonder if that's enough. Arkan, I know you feel this way. Like, have the Celtics already, do they already feel like they accomplished something and now it's like, well, we didn't go out like that. We forced a game six. How many teams have we even forced a game six? 15. We're the 15th in NBA history. So, like, Mazzulla's going to come back.
Nice job, everyone.
Now Smart and Horford can come back and, like, I'm going to stay. And, like, maybe they've accomplished, and I don't know that Jaylen actually feels that way. But as a group, do they feel like they've accomplished enough to keep it together? And it's like, okay, we did something, and
we're
now
we're not the biggest losers.
Correct. And now we didn't get swept.
Yeah, I mean, that's something. They definitely acted like they accomplished something when they beat Doc Rivers in seven games. So, I mean, you know, this isn't really all that out of character, I wouldn't say. I caught a little bit of that after game four, I thought.
Yep.
I thought after game four there was this sense of accomplishment that I didn't really care for, but they were able to, you know, focus in game six. It really, for me, it's all about focus. Can this team focus for four straight games? And I don't think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay, where's the pressure? Celtics or Miami? Eddie's in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? Arkan, first of all, let me say this. I've been a little hard on you. Starting to like you a little bit. You're
Ooh.
Starting to grow on me.
Thanks, Eddie.
My girl Meg always kept me around because I loved her on the other show.
Uh-oh.
But enough of the kissing up.
Eddie. Wait a minute, more kissing up.
No, I think that's good.
That's enough.
No, but anyways, listen, and I am being nice. I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Listen, back twice because I couldn't get on. But listen, the pressure's on the Heat, and the reason why the pressure's on the Heat is because they were up 3-0 in this series. And they know they had such a great opportunity. And you're right about one thing. Is it enough for the Celtics say we didn't go out that way? I think in a way it is. They don't have the pressure on them. I think they're going to get down to Miami, and they're going to play their game. And because Miami's not as good as them, the Celtics don't have to play their best game to win. And they don't have to hit 40% to win in threes to win that game. But they got to play smart.
Eddie, that's how they had to win all postseason. How they've had to win all postseason, all season, really. So I disagree with you on that. If they're not hitting 40% of their threes, they're in trouble. I'd love to see them win a game not that way. I would love to see it. Now, his call screen said no pressure on the Celtics, which I think is ridiculous. I think he made a good argument for the other side. I think the Celtics now have more pressure on them because now people are expecting them to win. The pendulum has swung back to them where, oh, wait a minute, people expect us to win now? Are they favored, Arkan? I think I saw this morning the Heat are still slight favorites in the series.
Yes.
But it's not by much.
I think the Celtics are now plus 275, but somehow have more of a better odds to win the championship.
Yeah. Well, and aren't they favored in game six?
Let me check.
I think they're favored in Miami in game six.
Minus 2.5.
That's what I saw this morning.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, I don't know what's changed, but they're
minus three. It's down.
So they're not quite favored in the series yet, but they will be if they win game six. They're favored in game six, which again, explain that to me. I just think it's crazy that people think if Miami loses, and I'm not lumping you in this group, Ego. If Miami loses game six at home, they're done. Like, but the Miami's done. Number one, I don't trust the Celtics that much. Number two, Miami could definitely win in this building. They've done it a ton over the last 2 years. And number three, that's exactly the kind of game the Celtics would lose. Isn't that exactly the kind of game this Celtics group would lose? They come all the way back from 3-0 down. They get back into it. They force a game seven. They're at home. Everybody's ready for the NBA Finals. It's like, ooh, get ready for Jokic. Ooh, they're finally going to answer the bell from last year. See, they really were focused. Mazzulla's a great coach again. Everybody gets on board, and then they'll gag all over themselves.
Well, no.
Like, I wouldn't trust them in that spot at all.
They've been really good in elimination games.
They have been.
And so
they played an awful lot of them, though.
Yeah,
besides
game six last year against the Warriors, yes, they've been very good in
elimination. It was also an elimination
game.
I liked Eddie's point, though, about Miami realizing that they missed an opportunity, like that a window closed. You know, the Celtics, gave them an opportunity there. And the feeling, that feeling of maybe you missed that and now the window's closed and they're just going to roll over you in some way. Like there may be some real, I don't know, mentality there. If they're that weak, aside from Jimmy Butler, do you think Jimmy Butler feels silly after the way that he walked up to the press conference?
I told you. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was very off. I like Jimmy Butler much more. I expect a much better Heat start tomorrow than last night. I could see this coming from Miami. The way Butler was carrying himself after game four, I could see it coming. It was fake.
Right. I kind of felt like the way that he was after the game last night was performative too.
It might be.
And maybe part of that is like, oh, he's manifesting something for himself. It's like the power of positive thinking and all this stuff that a lot of people in sports do believe in. But him saying like, well, we're going to win. I know we're going to win. He's like speaking it into reality in a way that makes me feel like he's arguing it to himself.
No, he might be. He very well might be. Is that, Jimmy, is that what you're doing? It could be what you're doing. It seems like it could be. Yeah, it is. Okay, good. Let me hear our Spoelstra after the game, because this kind of covers this topic here, Mego, on momentum carrying over in the series.
Mentally, are you concerned about where this team is? Can you just tell us sort of in the locker room, where is this team?
Who cares about mood? Like, we have a gnarly group. So I think so much of that is overrated. It's a competitive series. You always expect, things to be challenging in the conference finals. One game doesn't lead to the next game. Based on all the experience that we've had, it doesn't matter in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you lose by whatever. We beat them by whatever in game three. It just doesn't matter. It's about, collectively preparing and putting together, a great game. We'll play much better on Saturday. And that's all we just have to focus on right now.
I believe that. I believe they're going to play better on Saturday. I don't believe that nothing carries over.
I don't either.
Maybe it's just I've been watching too much of the Celtics team, where it's like half the time that they lay an egg.
Yeah, their momentum doesn't carry over,
It carries over into like a gross way that they start out the next game. But I don't buy that.
I don't either. He makes a good point. We killed him in game three, and that didn't carry over.
We had gnarly groups.
He's a skateboarder. I said this in Ryan's ear. Like
shredding the gnar.
He's the skateboarder now. And now Eric Spoelstra with the big, what was it? What was the caller said again? The,
I don't know.
What was his trick?
Half cab,
shove it.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
It's Eric Spoelstra after the game.
Eric Spoelstra's got his Vans on.
You don't think that there was momentum for Miami from game one to game two to game three? He doesn't believe that? I know you believe that. Like, he's wrong that there's no momentum and it doesn't carry over, but he made a good point about game three into game four.
And why does he talk about he doesn't care about the mood at all when that's like their whole thing is this Heat culture and believing in it and pushing yourself.
So like Butler, do you think some of that's performative?
It feels that way.
Arcan?
I think a lot of it is, and I think he's right to sort of dismiss it. Like, no, we're here because we're good at basketball, not because of Heat culture. We're here because we can win. That's what Butler was saying. Like, we deserve to be here. He's been very confident about that this whole time, hasn't he?
I'm just laughing at Ryan shaking.
They're not good at basketball.
Ryan's so disgusted at any positive talking and discussion about Miami. Let's go to Rob in Minnesota. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excellent.
I didn't know Eric Spoelstra turned into Spicoli or Tony Hawk. I didn't realize that was going on.
That's exactly what he did, yes.
I keep thinking, I don't know why this series now is shifted, and I keep thinking of, you remember in the comeback against Atlanta with the Patriots where McDaniels looked, I think he looked at like LeGarrette Blount and somebody else, and he says, do you believe that we can win the game? And they're like, yes. So then he's like, okay, so let's not try to do everything all in one play. Let's just chip away at this thing. And I want to know, one, do you guys believe that they can actually come back and win the series? And do you think that the Celtics themselves truly believe right now they could actually come back and win the series?
Okay. Can they do it? Sure. Will they do it? No. My feeling, and you guys can weigh in, do the Celtics believe they can? I'm going to lean no on that too, but I don't feel as strongly as that.
Yeah, I really feel like this is a swing game, and I don't feel good about this upcoming game because, as I said, I haven't seen them rip off three in a row in these playoffs. Like, if you just think back to last year, they opened it with a sweep over Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't done that since. You know, I'm not saying that you had to sweep every round the way that you expect them to. But
it's what they should have done against Atlanta.
I think that if they win the next game, they will win the series. And, of course, I think they can win the series. I'm just not sure that this team has shown the consistency and the focus, to Arcan's point, and that they can put forth that much effort all the way through. I'll tell you, like, what I said to somebody last night when I was on my way out. I really feel like for everything that Tatum did last night and that Tatum does guarding Butler and that Tatum does on the offensive side, having his hand in so many different plays, I do feel like the motor of this team is the combo of Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Whether you want that to be Marcus Smart or not, it does feel like they might be the tightest guys on the team emotionally. And if they can get the team to be on the same pace as them, maybe not the same ball handling,
right?
You know, lane as them, but the same pace as them, and keep that urgency up throughout four quarters, then I think you'll see it, something more like last night rather than what you saw in the first three games.
It's also easier for the Patriots to believe when they're down 28-3. And how much do they actually believe? Like, I have no idea. You're down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, but you have Brady,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's a little easier to
be
like,
oh, yeah.
Jason
Tatum going against an 8 seed again.
Sure.
Jason Tatum, who's not won
Jaylen
anything.
Jaylen Brown. Okay, you know what?
Tom Brady's an all-time great quitter.
You're Mr. Anti-Jays over
So. I'm sorry. Has he won a championship I missed?
I'm completely with Arcan on this. Like, it's just Brady's won a bunch of championships before. Brady's pulled championships out of nowhere before and pulled plenty of games out of nowhere before. Does Tatum do that? He's had some good elimination games, but he also vanished in the finals last year. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know that guys are looking around going like, oh, yeah, Jason will take care of this. It's a little different looking across the field and saying it's Brady. Like, it's easier to believe in that. And who knows how much they actually believed it when they said it.
You don't remember that famous Julian Edelman quote, don't let us win one first down.
That is true. There's no good quotes like that from the Patriots because, you know, that's what gets ruined by a series, or what gets ruined, I should say, by a series.
What about the one, no days off?
True. That is
very
true.
Pertinent right now.
So many days
they
off for
a
the
lot
Patriots.
Of days off right now.
Arcan, do you think the Celtics believe they can do it?
No, I don't think that they deep down really believe it. And the reason why I don't believe it is because Marcus Smart and Jaylen, to a lesser extent, after kept talking about our mindset's totally different, the energy's how many times are we going to hear that?
Yeah.
How many times are we going to hear the mindset's different and the energy's different and everything's different? Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe that. Like, you're winning and that's good and you're playing better, but I heard it too many times and I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, so I guess my answer, and again, I said I'm leaning no on this, but I don't feel strongly about it. The more I think about it, I don't think they believe.
I do.
I don't. They know how they've gone all year. Like, deep down, do they really believe they're, like, a resilient team? I don't think they do.
I think they do. I think they don't believe in the coach.
I think they like to say it.
But now I think they're past it. I think they're like, you know what? We're going to win in spite of this.
I think they like to say it. And I think they say it, and maybe they try to speak it into existence, like we were talking about with Butler before, manifest it. I don't think they believe it. They know something's been off with the team all year. They fake like each other. The coach stinks. Jaylen may want his way out, may want out. So, no, I don't think they believe it. They've won a couple of games. That's all they've done. They're halfway. I would agree with what Perk said earlier. They're halfway there. They haven't done anything. And the hard work is still to be done. And they're celebrating like they've done something. They haven't done anything.
All right. Have a wonderful long weekend.
That's true. That is true. Enjoy the traffic. Oh, wait, we're not going to talk about that today. 617-779-7937. You can line up here to talk to Rich Keefe. He's in tonight. Keith in?
I haven't seen him.
Is he? That's a thumbs up back there. I see a thumbs up. Rich Keefe is
everybody.
In tonight, taking you up to the Red Sox. He's got a lot of time to stretch his legs. So if you want to talk about game 5 last night, look ahead to game 6. Again, 617-779-7937. It's how you do it. We'll wrap things up here on Jones and Mega with Arcan with Endgame next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I want to play a f***ing game.
Game over, man. Game over.
You little punk.
That's not a real thing.
Okay, good.
That's not real.
Good.
A banana grabber.
Yeah. That's not real.
Yeah.
Endgame brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. I got three questions here, unless there's anything pressing that we need to discuss before we get to it. All right.
I think we're good, right?
Two producer shows this weekend.
Oh, there you go. Two of them. What
Saturday, days? 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., myself, Chris Shine, Billy Lanny. And then Sunday, 8 to 10, for the first time ever, a two-hour producer show. Myself and Shine will be talking about whatever happens in Game 6.
Nice. All right. How about that?
Very good.
Well, make sure you're locked in. If you're driving around early Saturday and Sunday, Ryan, Lanny, Chris Shine, they got you covered.
Only suckers working all of Memorial Day weekend.
I'm sure that's not true.
All right. Let's get to question one. It has to do with the Miami Heat in the 90s. A few days before the start of the 95-96 NBA season, the Miami Heat traded this sharpshooter, who holds many of the University of Michigan scoring records, to the Hornets with Matt Geiger for Alonzo Mourning.
I'll be honest, I kind of like Matt Geiger. I thought Matt Geiger was a nice little player there for a while.
Matt Geiger was a weird-looking dude.
Yep.
The Heat had a lot of big weird-looking... Ronnie Cikley, they had a bunch of old weird-looking guys.
Yeah, shaved head and a goatee, I feel like.
Yeah,
it was a
look.
He's like a 90s big man, I would say. I really liked this player.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I did too.
Big fan. Do you know who it is and you're judging
I'm just guessing.
Got it, okay.
This is a pure guess.
Okay.
You said this is 95, 96?
I'll be honest, I guess now that you say it, it's familiar, but I didn't realize this is who was traded for Alonzo Mourning. Like, if you asked me just to fill in the blank who was traded for Alonzo Mourning, I don't think I would have got this.
I'd say Matt Geiger and some other guy.
No, the Geiger part I definitely wouldn't have got, but the principal in this trade, I'm not sure I would have got either.
I don't think this is right.
A transformative trade for both teams, I think.
Yeah, sure.
In a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see your answers. A few days before the start of the 95-96 season, the Heat traded for this sharpshooter, who holds many of Michigan scoring records, traded him to the Hornets with Matt Geiger for Alonzo Mourning. I'm talking, of course, about...
Glenn Rice.
Glenn Rice is correct.
Oh, I'm embarrassed.
What'd you say?
I said Weber.
Chris Weber is incorrect.
Weber. So does Glenn Rice still hold a lot of the Michigan records? Like,
yes,
present
he
day?
Does. Several of them, yes.
Huh.
He was a monster in college.
Didn't realize that.
All right, let's go to question two. It has to do with Game 6 of 2004 in the ALCS.
Okay.
In Game 6 of the 2004 ALCS, Curt Schilling's famous Bloody Sock game,
right,
Schilling outdueled this Yankee right-handed starter who allowed a home run to Mark Bellhorn that hit a fan in the chest and then bounced back onto the field. This pitcher I'm talking about also pitched for the Cubs, Phillies, and Pirates.
Oh, yeah. Who was this guy? Got it. Well, I think I got it. Not one of their... Well, this guy might have snuck onto an all-star team at one point. Actually, I take it back. But not one of their, like... their star-studded guys, I wouldn't say. Like, the Yankees made a few... I'm trying to remember. 03 and 04 really run together for me, so I'm trying to remember. But they made a few trades for some pretty big arms at the time.
I don't know how this guy was acquired.
Yeah, no, I'm saying this isn't one of those guys. I don't believe if I have it right. Although, again, I bet he snuck onto an all-star team.
Remember that home run?
And then the fan
was like, no, it didn't hit me.
No. I remember the home run. Which, by the way, Mark Bellhorn is like a great case for, like, I would have been so wrong. My takes on Mark Bellhorn, they must have just been.
Play pokey.
No, I mean, right. They would have just been classic bad sports talk radio takes that just really blew up at the end.
Pokey.
Mark Bellhorn would be one of those where I just know.
Didn't he have something like 900 strikeouts in his season?
Oh, he was just
ridiculous.
Brutal. And then, you know, he woke up. I don't remember exactly when he woke up. Was it in the Angels series or was it just in that ALCS and it carried over into the World Series? I don't recall.
What game did he hit that one off the foul pole?
I think that was game 7,
I believe. That was awesome. All right.
I know, very quiet during this exchange.
She is.
I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't have it.
Okay. Game 6 of the 04 ALCS, Curt Schilling's famous Bloody Sock game. What's Schill up to these days, I wonder?
You know, Tomasi wrote about that today. Did you read it?
I
honestly don't know. But
he's on like 8chan.
Yeah, but Tomasi made the point. 8chan. He made the point that he should really be at this game. you know, game last night or game seven, and you know, he's,
like, he should be like not.
No, right. Obviously, you know,
in another timeline.
Yeah, if you weren't a whack job. Yeah, exactly. Right.
The internet was mean to him, so he moved to Tennessee.
That's right. Shilling Outdueled this Yankee right-handed starter who allowed a home run to Mark Bellhorn that hit a fan in the chest and bounced back on the field. Also played for the Cubs, Phillies, and Pirates. Mego, did you guess anybody?
No, I just said I don't know.
John Lieber?
John Lieber's correct. I did not think either of you would get that.
Okay, so I do remember John Lieber. Was 04, did they have both Randy Johnson and Javier Vasquez?
Vasquez, yes. I don't think they had Randy Johnson yet.
They got Randy later? Okay.
Vasquez. And they had Esteban Loaiza.
When they got Javier Vasquez, I was like, oh, crap, the Yankees got a stud.
Yeah, from the Expos.
I was just going to say, I would go to games up in Montreal growing up, and yeah, he was quite good. Him, Vlad, Fernando Tatis, I think.
This guy can really fling it.
He can really sling it there.
How far were you from Montreal?
90 minutes.
Wow.
Not far.
Yeah. And was a one-time All-Star.
Olympic Stadium? Is that where they play?
Lieber made it?
Yes.
Yeah, Olympic Stadium, yes.
All right.
Signed as a free agent with the Yankees.
Stade Olympique, yes.
The Stade Olympique, okay. Yeah. All right, here is question number three. It has to do with bikes. This city in Europe.
Close. Mego guessed skateboards.
Not skateboards, no. This city in Europe, which is known for its canals and whose currency is the krone, not the euro, is the city with the most cyclists in it, with up to 62% of its residents using bikes to commute to work or school.
I got it.
I think I have it.
I got it.
You done a lot of European travel over there?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Not this side of Europe, no. Not these countries.
That wasn't my question.
Not the lame side.
I guess no.
Do they have the canals and the bikes?
That wasn't my question at all.
I haven't. I've been to Spain
not
and
this
France.
Side of Europe.
I've been to Spain, France, and one part of Italy, but not really like anywhere else. I don't think.
Arcan grew up in the North End. It's basically Italy.
It is.
It's basically like he
grew up in small Italy. They should call it that.
Basically grew up in
small
Europe.
Small Italy.
It's basically Europe.
Tiny Italy.
Miniature Italy.
Barely spoke English, played stickball.
That's right.
That's Arcan's humble beginnings.
Begged for crone on the streets.
He'd do anything for Krone.
That's right.
Just anything.
Feeding my family. That Krone. All right. Looks like everyone's done writing, yes?
I think we've been done writing for a sizable amount of time, yes.
This city in Europe, which is known for its canals and whose currency is the krone, not the euro, is the city with the most cyclists in it, with up to 62% of its residents using bikes to commute to either work or to school. That city is, why don't you both say it at the same time? 1, 2, 3.
Amsterdam.
Wrong!
Wow!
We were looking for Copenhagen. Oh. Copenhagen.
You were looking for Copenhagen.
What country is that? Is that Denmark?
Yeah, that's Denmark.
That is Denmark, yes.
I knew they were both.
I haven't been to that side of Europe. Whatever. I don't know. I didn't know. I thought it was Denmark. I don't go to that side.
Yeah, you're looking for Wang. Another Yankee righty. No, it was Wong. Chin-Min Wong.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Was he on the 04 team? He might have been.
I don't know.
Was that a trick question? I feel like it was a trick question. Were you expecting everybody to answer Amsterdam?
No.
He really was. Oh, okay. It seemed like he was very confident. He thought he got us. I thought he got you with the
John Lieber one.
Yeah, well, you got to wake up pretty early.
I didn't know that Copenhagen was known for its canals.
It is.
What is it, like Venice?
I know like four places in Europe. I don't know. I went to Spain once.
I didn't know much about it until I looked it up on the internet for this question. A lot of canals.
I guessed Cronadelphia. Not a place, actually. Who knew? Not I.
Not a place yet.
No, not yet.
The question really should have been about skateboards, Mego.
Why are we going to have a question about the North End?
Oh.
We talk about it every show.
You guys talk about it every show.
We weren't the first ones to bring it up. That's all I know. Anyway... Okay, long weekend. Mego's not worried about traffic. If she is, she's not gonna complain about it.
Nothing you can do.
Not gonna complain about it. I'm gonna complain about it. The second I get hung up in Boston Collin traffic out there, I'm gonna complain about it. And then when I get caught up on Memorial or Storo or whatever, I'm gonna complain about it. But again, I was with you, Ken, on that one. But if you see any motorized scooters, don't flip them off either, and certainly don't beep at them until you wait 3 seconds. Rich Keefe has you ready.
No way.
Or gets you ready, I should say, for the Red Sox tonight. You can dial them up, 617-779-7937. You want to talk Celtics, their Game 5 victory last night. Are they going to take down the Heat? Looking ahead to Game 6 tomorrow night, again, 617-779-7937. If you're hanging out there, Rich Keefe will get to you coming up. We'll have a long weekend, and we'll talk to you Tuesday at 2 o'clock. How about that? We'll do that on Tuesday on WEEI.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.